Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and our ushers will make sure you get one. Today, it might be a little short, but don't get too excited. I just flew in this morning, so usually when I'm really tired, I'm very dangerous, because I don't know what comes out of my mouth, right? So you can ask my wife. That's why I want to keep it short. I don't want to get in trouble this morning. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to read from verse 19. It says, "And I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Lord, we bless you, God, today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us together, God. We came from many different places, God, to come to this morning, to this place, God. And Lord, we know that you have a specific purpose in mind, Father. And so we come humbly, God, and we say, speak to us, Lord. God, speak to us through your word, God. Father, we ask, God, that you would release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today, God. We bless you, Father, God. Just, Lord, I humble myself, God. I ask you to use me, Lord, in my weakness, Father. Draw us all to you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I attended a conference this past week, all last minute. You guys know that Annie gave birth a week late, and so Pastor Sam Kim was not able to attend the conference. It was a children's ministry conference, and I felt totally kind of left out, to be honest. You know, most of the time, they were complaining about senior pastors, you know, all these children's ministries. And I was just sitting there, and I was just praying that they wouldn't say, "Are there any senior pastors in here? Would you please stand up?" or something like that. And so I was always kind of hiding in the back all the time. But one thing, I mean, I had a few takeaways, which is quite good. But one of the takeaways that came away was this idea of blessing, you know. And I felt like, you know what, this is a good part. And so, you know, so last night, and you know, while I was in L.A. getting ready for the flight, and today I got my laptop and just kind of worked on this message. And so hopefully it blesses you. But it's such an important aspect that God has given us the supernatural ability to bless people, right? You know, in the same way, He's given us the ability to curse people, right? And trust me, you don't want to come under a curse, you know, but you want to come under the blessing. And so I just kind of just want to share on this a little bit today. The word bless in Hebrew, some of you guys that are Americans, you probably know this by now, it's actually Barak, right, which we get our president's name, right? So his first name means bless, not just in Kenyan, but it's actually in Hebrew. And Barak means to bless. It actually would literally mean to kneel, you know, to salute, to praise. You know, so when we say, "Lord, we bless your name," you know, we're saying we salute your name, we praise your name. And not only is the, in other words, not only coming out of our mouths, but it's a posture that we take, that we kneel. You know, it's a act of humility before God. And so the Greek word of this is the word eulogeo, which we get the word eulogy from. And this means to praise or to celebrate with praises, to make happy. It also means a favored of God. Psalm 109:28, talking about the Lord, says, "Let them curse," but he says, "But thou, Lord, you bless." You know, and God is a God that desires to bless his people. He's given us so many wonderful things in our life that's enabled us to do wonderful things. You know, we talked about it in the past, right? He's given us natural abilities. You know, some of you guys are just naturally gifted, you know, towards different things. You know, some of you are naturally gifted at making money. Some of you are naturally gifted in sports. Some of you are naturally gifted that we saw, you know, earlier today in singing or in playing music or in something. And those are the gifts that God gives us. There's also another gift that He gives us, and we could say that it's He's given us the ability to acquire traits. You know, and so, you know, I'm sure Chris didn't just, you know, pick up the guitar and just play beautifully. Even though he had a natural ability in music, it took practice. You know, and he acquired traits and skills. And God, that's another gift from the Lord, that we have the ability to do that. And then top this whole thing off, we have what's called spiritual gifts, right? God gives us gifts, supernatural gifts that are in the Bible, you know, to further the work of the ministry, to bless His people, you know, and to encourage ourselves and each one of us. And so these are things that God has given to us. Let me give you a list here of some other of God's blessings in our life, right? It's a list of 11. And so just follow along with me, and I'll give you a verse that corresponds. I may not read all the verses, but a few we may, right? What are some of God's blessings over our life? Number one, He's given us an acceptance that can never be questioned, right? He has freely accepted us. It's Ephesians 1:6. Right, where He calls us His beloved. You know, what an incredible, beautiful gift this is. You know, I can remember, this is one of the first times I really broke down. You know, being a young Korean man, Korean-American man, right? I remember when I came to a revelation, and it really does take revelation, you know, that God freely accepted me. You know, and I remember I was sitting in a church service, and the message actually wasn't even about that at all. You know, but as I was sitting down, and normally, you know, when I was at a church service afterwards, like after the preacher would speak, I didn't just get up and start moving around. I just sat there for a while and just really asked Holy Spirit to download that message in my heart and to convict me about something, you know, that the preacher said that I may walk through that week, you know, and this may be a good thing for you guys to do, right? Instead of, you know, hit the refreshment table and chat with all your buddies, and don't worry, they'll still be around, right? Just take a few minutes to just sit, you know, under the presence of the Lord and ask God, what are You speaking to me about through this message? And how can I apply this message into my life? I was discipled through Navigators, right? And so, you know, they do a very good job of teaching us those type of things, right? And so an acceptance that can never be questioned, right? You know, we are freely accepted by God. No matter where you're at in life, no matter, you know, what you've done, even what you did last night, right? You are accepted by the Lord. That's God's gift to His people. You can't buy this stuff, man, you know? Another one that He gives us, another blessing that comes from the Lord, He gives us an inheritance that can never be lost, right? An inheritance that can never be lost, right? You know, there's my parents were never rich enough to have an inheritance or anything like this, but I can imagine is the movies that I see, you know, people fighting over their inheritances, right? You know, arguing and wrestling together with people regarding that. But He gives us an inheritance that can never be lost, right? It'll always be there for us, and it's waiting there for us, every single one of us. And the beauty of it is, as we live this life on earth, you know, the more that we deposit into the eternal, right, the more our treasures are waiting for us in the glories, right? So it's a wonderful thing. It's an inheritance that can never be lost. It's 1 Peter 1:3-5. He brings to us a deliverance that can never be excelled. Right? A deliverance that can never be excelled. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Number four, this is so beautiful. A grace that can never be limited. Right? In other words, His grace is always sufficient for you. Right? Think about that. His grace is always sufficient for you. His grace will never run out in our lives. All right, 2 Corinthians 12:9. He gives us a hope that can never be disappointed. And Isaiah says it very simply, right? Those that hope in Him will not be disappointed. He gives us a hope that can never be disappointed. Think about all the times in our lives where you felt disappointed by someone or something, or you're hoping for something or hoping for someone. In God, you have a hope that can never be disappointed. Hebrews 6:18-19. He gives us a joy that can never be diminished, right? A joy that overflows, you know. And I like what Chris said today. You could preach that, man. That was a good, you know. There's a lot of things in the world that can come and go, but these things remain forever, and they're always accessible to us if we'll walk in these things. But it's a joy that can never be diminished. John 15:11, right? His joy is complete, right? The Lord says to us. The Lord also blesses us with a nearness to God that can never be reversed. Right? A nearness to God that can never be reversed. It's Ephesians 2, verse 13. A peace that can never be disturbed. Right? He says, my peace I give to you. Peace that this world does not know do I give. Right? A peace that can never be disturbed if you'll walk with the Lord in this way. It's John 14:27. He also blesses us with a righteousness that can never be tarnished. Right? A righteousness that can never be tarnished, right? Because we don't stand in our righteousness, we stand in God's righteousness. In the righteousness through Christ, through the price that He had paid. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then the icing on the cake, right? A salvation that can never be canceled. Once saved, always saved. That is one of the tenets of our faith, right? Once you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, right? It's a done deal. Hebrews 5:9, right? A salvation that can never be canceled. And so these are the incredible blessings that the Lord brings to His people. Now, and this is really what I wanted to get to more than anything else, right? We also have received in our life the ability to speak these blessings over people's lives, right? So not only have we received blessing from the Lord, you know, a multiple, countless, all kinds of stuff, but God in His wisdom has decided to give us the ability to speak into people's lives, to speak a blessing or to speak a curse, you know, or, you know, one way or the other. This is where the power comes from. We are in what our church fathers call, we are created in the imago Dei, which means in the image of God, right? And so every single human being, we carry the image of God in us. That's why every single human being longs for God. You know, if you study missiology or cultural anthropology or any of these things in school, you would have noticed that every single culture known to man has some kind of deity figure in their history, right? It could be some prehistoric culture, you know, like just outside of modernity, outside of society, you know, but they worship something, right? It's because we are created in the image of God. The imago Dei is us. God lives in us, you know, and so there's a longing and inclination for God, right? It resides in every single one of us, you know, and so that's why in Paul, in Romans, you know, he says that, you know, every single human being in essence is without excuse. You know, and the marker by which we can see that God exists is creation. And so what Paul is saying is when a person that may not know who God is, not know Him by name, when he looks at creation, right, he is face to face with God. Not that God is nature or anything like that. We don't worship Mother Nature. Right, but what he's saying is because we're created in the image of God, there's a part of us, every single one of us, that longs to know who this God is, and the reality of that on earth is nature. And he says in Romans, he says, so when we see nature, there's an inclination for us to get to know this God. But if you read the rest of Romans 1, he basically says that we have taken over that and worshiped creatures and, you know, and things and objects and whatnot. And he says, very simply, we are without excuse. You know, and so, because this imago Dei is in us, because the image of God rests there, there's power in that. And God has given us the power through the image of God that we can speak life to someone else, or we can speak death to someone else. Right? You know, there's an old nursery rhyme, you know, growing up. I don't know if you, when, you know, when I was little, and, you know, people get in fights, and, you know, maybe similar to some of you that have immigration stories, I was the only Asian kid in my whole neighborhood. Only Korean kid and grew up in this little suburb of Chicago, a huge Jewish neighborhood, right? Only Asian kid, Jewish Polish neighborhood, and I got taunted a lot, and some of you guys are a little older or like kind of my age, this is probably your story as well, and people would always come up to you, call you Ching Chong Ching or something like that, or you know what I mean, or you do these things with your eyes and stuff. And I grew up in that, and so, but unfortunately, fortunately when I was young, but unfortunately later, my dad enrolled me in Taekwondo, and so I just got in fights all the time, right? But my teacher would always tell me, when some, punk kid would be like, say something derogatory because I'm Asian and whatnot, my teacher would always say, Sammy, my name was Sammy back then, right? Sammy, don't let that bother you. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you, right? You remember hearing that? And so my teacher would say that. Says, hey, it's just, sticks and stones, but names will never hurt you and stuff. Well, I found out later on that that's totally wrong, right? That sticks and stones, scars heal, broken bones, they all heal, but these names really, they stick deep. It's like a dagger. I mean, some of us, you could probably remember. I remember the first time, and maybe you can remember the first time that I felt my parents were disappointed in me. It's such a vivid memory, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but my dad basically told me, he was angry, totally wasn't my fault, right, and stuff, but that's beside the case, basically said, why can't you be like so-and-so? Why can't you be like so-and-so's son, blah, blah, blah. And his name happened to be Sam as well, right? So I wanted to kill him every day of my life since then. But, and I remember that, and it's still, because I was preparing this message on a plane and stuff, and it still hurts a little bit. I was sitting on the plane, and it's still, I'm healed, I'm totally, it's forgiven, all those things, but there's still that residue there, and I just think about that, right? And probably many of you, you probably remember the first time that you felt your parents' disappointment. Or they said something and it just stuck. Or a teacher said that, you're going to be a loser or something. Or you know what I mean? You're not going to amount to anything or something. And it's there. And it does two different things to two different types of people. One type of people, it'll drive us, to really prove that it's false. But we become driven, which is quite negative, instead of being called, which is a different thing. And the other side, too, is then we just sink into a hole and we just believe it. And we just don't think, yeah, I'm a big loser, right? I can't do anything, right? And it's different personalities, right? It's different, the way people are wired, it's different. And some excel, it causes them to excel, but in a very negative way. And some, it just causes them to decel, I guess, or I don't know if even that's a word, right? But just to go down the tubes. And so we know there's power in words, right? There's power there, because we're made in the image of God, because we're like God on earth, it's not a new age statement or anything like that, because we carry the image of God in us, right? It says we're made just a little lower than the angels, and so we understand this, and we have been given this ability to speak life or to speak death, to bless or to curse, James, turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, talks about the power of our tongue. James 3, 8 to 10 says this, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. Right? This is why, because we said we're made in the likeness of God. It's the Imago Dei. Right? From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. Publius, the Greek sage, he said this. He said, I've often regretted my speech, but never my silence. Right? I've often regretted my speech, but never my silence. Right? He understood, right, that the tongue is a very dangerous thing. There is a power that we have to bless or to curse. You know, I'm so aware of this, especially with my kids. You know, I mean, you know, I took inner healing class, you know, at Fuller, right? I went through inner healing myself. I've read, you know, probably about 20 books on the subject. And I totally understand this, right? But still, I slip up all the time. You know, and I can't tell you how many times afterwards I sit there and I pray and ask the Lord, you know, that, you know, I don't want Elise to be in some pastor's office, you know, when she's 22, you know, and saying, my dad said this to me, and, you know, and so then they have to do inner healing on her, you know what I mean? And stuff, and, you know, sometimes I just say, like cute stuff, I said, oh, my little chubby, or something like that, right? And so, I know all the girls are going, no, right? And things, and so, I mean, you got to be careful, right? You know, with these little stuff, because, you know, my kid's chubby, but yeah, you can't call them that, especially women. I realize more and more and stuff, you know. And of course, women are very, you know, like, I don't know, you guys want to kill me now, I could tell, right? You know, and, you know, I've never been chubby, right, in my life. And so I don't know, you know, but women know, and, you know, and stuff, and guys that are, you know, they understand all these things, but it's like little slip-ups. But that's why even more we have to be careful of what we say. You know, and especially as a pastor, I know, you know, my words carry a little more weight than other people, you know, and a lot of times, honestly, I just didn't understand the power there or the responsibility of anointing in that, you know, at times and things. And so you have to be careful, right? You can bless or you can curse. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, right? You can bless me today or you can curse me today. Right? And friends, a curse is real, right? It's real. It's not some kind of figment of imagination. It's not some kind of medieval spirituality, you know, out in the, you know, centuries ago. It exists today. You know, I'll tell you a story that's really hits home to me. When I was, and you know what, I heard this. Please forgive me. Because I know I speak a lot about my relationship with my wife and stuff, you know, and someone told me the other day that that's all your sermon illustrations, right, and stuff, so, sorry. what can I say? That's who I am, right? So please forgive me, but I'll give you another story about my wife and I. So my wife, for some odd reason, didn't really like me that much, right? When I was pursuing her, you guys all familiar with this story. And one day I was at a conference, actually, you know, it was a church in Pasadena, and the Lord's really blessed me with a lot of praying people, you know, and I had a handful of intercessors that would pray for me all the time, and just really a gift from the Lord. And one of my intercessors, one day we got together and we just started talking, and she's been covering me, you know, for years, and just really blessing me and stuff, and she's actually quite close to Lisa now, so it's really good, right, to have a confidant there. And at this stage, you know, I was pretty, you know, like kind of not too happy with how the relationship was going because there was no relationship, you know. And so I said to her, I says, you know, I think there's something. Can you just pray for me? You know, you get discouraged, right, along the way. And so I asked her to pray for me, and as she prayed for me, she saw this picture, right. And the picture she saw Lisa, you know, because she's very prophetic. She saw Lisa, and there was this veil over her eyes, you know. And so I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Okay, all right, this is good. So it's not me. It's something else, right? And stuff. And so we continue on in this prayer. And then she says, someone put a curse on her. I'm like, what? She says, someone put a curse on her. I said, you're kidding me. You know, and so we started praying some more, and what the conclusion was is we had, there was this psycho girl, you know, that was at our church, and, you know, it's one of those crazy situations where, you know, she was absolutely convinced that I was going to be her husband, right? I mean, just absolutely convinced, you know, and, you know, took me out to coffee and said, oh, yeah, the Lord spoke to me, right, that you're going to be my husband, you know, and I said, oh, really? Wow. It's very interesting, you know, because the Lord didn't say that to me, you know, and I think that's pretty important, right? And so, yeah, it was crazy. And so, you know, I dismissed it. And I said, yeah, you know, you got some problems. And so, you know, thank you. And so I didn't see her for a while. And then she asked me out for coffee again. And I thought she was going to apologize. You know, I said, yeah, Pastor Sam, I'm so sorry. You know, yeah, I had a bad burrito or something, you know. But called me outside. I said, okay, I'm waiting for the apology. And she comes together. She says, no, I sought the Lord, you know, and I talked to some people. And for sure, you're going to be my husband. And she said, and if you don't marry me, then your ministry is going to die. Wow. Right? And I was like, ooh. Now this is getting serious. And so I don't really get all that mad, but I actually, that day, I stood up and I banged the table and I said, you will not manipulate me. And I walked out, right? And so what came down of it, this crazy girl, right? And by the way, if you should never do that to someone, right? I mean, never, ever, ever, ever use God to get something that you want. This is actually very, very, it happens all the time, friends. You know, and so if you're thinking about doing that right now, just don't do it. I guarantee it'll backfire on you, right? You know, okay, in any case. So we're praying together, and basically what comes down is, yeah, this girl, she cursed Lisa. Because I told her basically, I said, well, I don't like you because I actually like someone else. And I should have just not said the name, but I was scared. I was just scared, you know. And so I said, yeah, I like this girl, Lisa, you know. And we all went to church together. So you know, she knew who she was. And stuff. And then she put a curse on her, you know. And the curse was, it just blinded her, right, to see the beauty of me. Why are you guys laughing? I know, it's ridiculous. And so what happened was, right, she cursed her, and we prayed together. We really prayed, and we said, Lord, break this curse, you know, if there's any disobedience on my part, you know, that played a role in this, you know, and we cut it off. And I tell you what happened. The next week, Lisa and I, we started dating, right? It was the craziest thing, you know, and things. And so now, if you guys are single, it doesn't mean someone cursed you, okay? So don't get any ideas. This was a prophetic word, right, and stuff. So, but it was, I mean, it was just really, really interesting. And it really kind of opened my eyes. So I actually went into the scriptures afterwards and started studying this. Because I never really, you know what I mean? Like, you know, living in the year 2000, you don't really read up on curses. You think that's like totally foreign subject, you know? I mean, totally out of left field and whatnot. But I realized that it's real and it exists, you know, and I don't want to get too much into it, but I will just share this one aspect with you, okay? People throw curses all the time. Have you guys ever woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Raise your hand. Really, right? You just woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? You know why you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Let me tell you why you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And I'm gonna some of it might scare some of you, but you just pay attention a bit. 3 a.m. internationally is the international hour of prayer for Satanists. And they pray against the church, Christians, at 3 o'clock in the morning. You guys didn't know that, huh? Right? It's true, right? The Church of Satan, the official Satanists, I'm freaking some of you guys out right now. And so, but they pray at 3 o'clock in the morning against the church, all right, against Christians. You know, and so a lot of times, you know, because I remember I used to get woken up all the time. I'd be like, I always look over and say, why is it always 3 o'clock? You know, and then my professor, right, who's, you know, basically studies this stuff, he said, oh, yeah, that's just the national or the international hour of prayer. I was like, interesting, right? And then once I started praying against it, I stopped waking up 3 o'clock. I wake up early, right, but go to the bathroom now, not to, you know, too much information. I told you I'm dangerous when I don't have much sleep and stuff, so... you know, and these things happen. Now, someone can throw a curse, right? But it can't just land on you for no reason, right? In other words, like some, you know, lunatic, you know, I curse you or something like that. It means nothing unless, and this is a key, unless there's a reason for it to land. All right, let me show you something in the Bible. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, verse 2 says this, like a sparrow in its fitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. Right? This is the key, right? I could go on and on, but I'm not going to do that. I don't want to waste my time on the negative stuff. But people can throw a curse at you. You know, they can curse your company. You know, I went to the bank last week, you know, Citibank, and as I was trying to walk in, there's all these people, and they're upset, and they're just cursing my bank. I was like, take it easy, man. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? And I've seen people, they're cursing HSBC and Lehman Brothers, and, you know, I mean, these guys are just cursing like crazy. I'm like, come on. You know, it's like investments have risk involved, right? I mean, just get over it. Sorry, that's a political statement. I won't get into that. And stuff. And so, you know, and all these things are happening, and it just doesn't land for no reason. If there's a reason, the curse will land, right? In other words, if there's a chink in your armor, if there's sin unconfessed, if there's, you know, if your life is not in order, you know, and there's issues with God or something, you know, or issues, then it's like, you know, a pastor once said it's like a launching pad, you know, and an air traffic controller is saying, okay, come on in, make a left, make a right, curse, here you go, come on in, right? And so, but it has to have cause, right? You know, there has to be cause. No one can just throw a curse and that it doesn't do anything unless there's cause for that to happen, right? This is why it's important for us to daily walk with the Lord, right? That we, you know, daily come before God and say, you know, the prayer of Psalm 139. Lord, search me and try me. See if there be any hurtful thing within me and lead me in the everlasting way. Right? That we have no chinks in our armor, right? That we are right with God. We're right with our brothers and sisters. You know, that we are in harmony, you know, with one another, right? Beloved, right? And if that's the case, right, you know, can't touch you. Because the righteous of Jesus stands in front. And like Jesus, remember what he said? He looked to the evil realm and he says, you have nothing in me, right? I mean, that's a beauty. He says, you have nothing in me. You know, and so we need to make sure that every single day we can stand before the Lord and I say, hey, you have nothing in me, right? I'm clean as a whistle. You know, I mean, you may have proclivities toward, but you have confessed to the Lord. You're clean, right? He just can't touch you, right? And the Holy Spirit that resides in you, right, is bigger than anything that's out there. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right, and so I don't want to spend too much time because I can see a lot of look of concern on everyone's face right now and stuff. And so, you know, I mean, the key is get right with God, right? I mean, just plain and simple, get right with God, right? Make sure your life aligns to, you know, the Word of God. Make sure that our lives, you know, mirror, right, God's life. And if that's not happening, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. You know, let him really woo you, right? I mean, the Bible says it's this kindness that leads us to repentance. Don't be scared into repentance, right? That doesn't work. But just think of how gracious God is towards you to free you and to set you free, right? I mean, you're in bondage, right? And the grace of God is available to you to set you free from whatever ills are befalling your life today, right? So get right with God, whatever it may be. Right, get your life in order. Right, repent, confess. You know all these kind of things. The word when in Proverbs 26:2 when it says does not alight, the word Hebrew word is a really easy word. It's called bow. Right, it means to enter, to come in, and specifically to attack or the enemy attacking. Right, that's the alighting. So you can picture a better picture of this is like an eagle's talons sticking onto you. Right, that's alighting. Right. You know, and so we don't want to be in that situation, right? And so, you know, these curses, none of these, they can come near us, you know? And so we can choose, and that's one side, but so we can choose, now going back to what I want to talk about, we can choose to bless people or we can choose to curse people. Now, let me make it a little harder for you a little bit, okay? Now, who do we bless? Well, we bless everyone. And this is a challenge, right? You know, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, bless your enemies. right? Don't curse them. You know, he makes it very clear. And this is a challenge, right? He says, bless your enemies. You know why that's so important? I'll just share with you guys. You know why that's stuff like that is very important? Because you can't do it. Do you get that? You can't do that. There's no way on this earth that you can bless your enemies. Right? Proverbs and Romans chapter 12 tells us that you do good to your enemies, and it says it'll be like heaping coals, hot coals on your enemy's head. Now, some people have translated that before to say, yeah, and as putting hot coals is a negative. No, actually, in Hebrew, putting hot coals on a person is a very positive thing. It's a blessed thing, right? It keeps them warm, right? It's a sign of honor and dignity and all these things. And so the Proverbs tells us, reap hot coals on their head because God will repay you. Right? So this whole idea, right, of blessing our enemies and forgiving people and that kind of stuff, it's something that we cannot do, right? The power in that is when you do that, right, you attach yourself to God's realm, right? You are attaching yourself to the impossible realm, this being the year of the impossible. You're doing something that only God can do, right? You are aligning yourself, right, in God, because you can't do this on your own. You know, and the funny thing is, a lot of times when we think about impossible, you know, when we think about, you know, the supernatural, these kind of things, we always think about something that we can get, you know, or someone getting healed or something. There's so much more of the impossible than that. You know, and the more is that you can do something that only God can do. You can forgive someone. You know what I mean? You know, you can love someone that hates you, that's done evil in your life. You know, I mean, history is full of people that decided to join God in the realm of the impossible and not to live out the things of this world. You know, another part of that is when you are able to bless your enemies and love them, guess what? You connect yourself with the eternal life. You know what I mean? You connect yourself with the eternal reward. Because he says when you do that, in Proverbs 25, he says, God will repay you. When is that going to happen? It's going to happen in the next life. In other words, you said, well, I'm living here on earth, but I'm actually living for eternity. And then we always think of, you know, giving money. It's like, yeah, I'm sowing seeds in eternity. Don't sow just seeds of money in these things, of finances. Sow seeds of righteousness. You know what I mean? Where you deserve to be angry, but you choose to bless. See, you can't do it. I can't do it. You know what I mean? And I'll be honest, I'll tell you, every time I think about this, you know, and I read very disturbing passages like this, right? The Bible is full of very disturbing passages. You know, one particular called the Sermon on the Mount, right? It just, I Jesus, what the heck are you talking about, man? You know? But he lived it. Right? He stood on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You know? It wasn't just some cheap, easy believism. I mean, he really shared out of his heart. And he forgave them. And these guys are spitting in him and cursing him and doing all kinds of stuff. And when Jesus is doing that, he was attaching himself to the eternal. When you're able to operate in this, you're attaching yourself to the eternal. You're attaching yourself to the impossible. You cannot do it. When I read passages like this, I always think about, well, what if someone, like, abducted my child or something? You know, as humans, we always go to the most extreme things. You know, and if I meet this person face to face, could I forgive this person? You know, and my conclusion always is no, I cannot. In and myself, I cannot. But Lord, I am hoping that you'll be with me and I'll be able to. Because it'll be 100% God and 0% Sam. That's the only way it's going to happen. Only way it's going to happen. There was a missionary in Hong Kong years ago. Very faithful missionary couple. A couple kids. Ministering to drug addicts and prostitutes here in Hong Kong. The daughter, somehow, I don't know how it happened, but the daughter got raped. And by a drug addict, and is not in his right mind, And a very unfortunate thing happened. And the guy eventually got saved, met the Lord. And they had a meeting. And he came up and, you know, just broken and confessed and said, "Will you forgive me?" You know, the daughter, as a result of this trauma, is not really 100% there. You know, I think she's okay now and things, but just tough. You know, and this missionary, she's sharing the story with me. She has to look at this guy in the face. You know, and he's a believer now. You know, he's repented. God's forgiven him. You know, and she's has to choose. She can choose life, or she can choose death. You know, she can choose to forgive and bless, or she, rightfully so, like in our mind, rightfully so, can curse this man. And just heavy, 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 heavy. You know, and that's the exact same words that I shared. She said, "There's no way I can do it, but God did it through me." Right? 100% God, 0% of her. You know, she's able to forgive and move on with her life and live family's living a blessed life, right? So we have that choice, friends, as well, right? I'm not just talking about blessing people that are nice to you. You know what I mean? I'm not just talking about, you know, being good to those that are good to you. Right? I mean, Jesus says, well, what's the big deal? Even the sinners do that. You know, even the selfish rich guys, you know, they're nice to people that are nice to them. He says, bless your enemies. Right? It's tough. I'm preaching this. I'm not saying, you know, it's easy. You know, I've only been in a few situations, I'll be honest, in my life where and nothing like what this missionary went through, but a few situations where, you know, I had the opportunity to bless someone or curse them, and I chose curse. I'll just be honest. You know, because I didn't really understand what Jesus was saying. Right? You can align your life to life, or you can align yourself to death. You can choose to bless not just your friends, right? Not just, you know, people that are good to you. You know what I mean? But you can choose to bless those that curse you. You know? And it's totally possible. But you have to die. You have to die. Even if there's 1% of you, it won't flow. Right? You have to die. You can choose life, or you can choose death. When you die on earth, there's resurrection power. Right? Guys, isn't that what we really want? You know, in the midst of all our struggles and these, I mean, you know, you just in the field, don't you just want to be a better person? Right? You know, don't you want to ascribe to something that's greater than you? It's here. It's our faith. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you begin to live that thing out, God will do some wonderful things in your life. But you have to die. You got to die. Right? You bless those that curse you. We bless our enemies, you know. And I have a hard time preaching this because, you know what? I'll be honest. I've never done it in my life. Never done it. You can tell, man. You're speaking with a lot of conviction. Yeah, that's Holy Spirit, man. Right? I've never done it in my life, but I would like to think that if a time comes, right, that I will die, and that Christ will live. See, I don't know where you are in your faith journey and whatnot, but God always challenges us. He's always challenging us. This is no cheap, easy believism. You know what I mean? This is no, you know, trust God, your life is peachy keen the rest of your life. No, there is an adversary that wants to rob, kill, and destroy. Right? But there is a Lord and Savior that wants to save and bless. You align yourself to Him. Right? And that's our journey. You live for the eternal. Right? And God does some amazing things. When we begin to do that, you will experience the impossible. You will experience the impossible. It's not just about praying for a long time. You know? It's not just about fasting, you know, and seeking the Lord. It's about aligning our life in the difficult things. I mean, it's difficult, right? It's very difficult. You know, but we have that choice. And we can bless. Now, no, it was a little heavy, so everyone, let's take a deep breath. Okay. Now, with that, this is something that I want you to begin to do every single day, right? I want you to just begin to start blessing people, right? Just bless people. You know, I bless my kids and my wife every morning. I just bless them. See, there's power there, right? And God's giving you the power to bless someone, you know, to really convey, you know, that peace. And the word bless is, it means to speak well of, right? It's to put under the covering of God. But you just begin to bless. So I'm going to read you a bunch of blessings in the Bible, okay? Straight out of the Scriptures. And you can do this yourself, but you have to understand, the Apostle Paul was really, really good about this. And most of his letters are spent blessing the churches. That's what he does. He blesses the churches. You know, he says stuff like in Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." That's a blessing. He's blessing, right, the church in Rome. You know, let me give you another one. How about the blessing in Thessalonians? It says, "Now God Himself and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct your way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." That's 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Another blessing that He gives the church in Thessalonians, the blessing in Philippians chapter 4. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's a blessing, right? I mean, what a blessing that is to be able to say to, you know, your sister or your brother, "I bless you with peace that surpasses all understanding and will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." That's powerful, right? Because there's power there in the spoken word. There's power in the blessing that flows. You know, how about someone you know in your life that's kind of falling away from the Lord, or that's kind of on shaky ground? How about the blessing that Paul gives in Jude chapter 1, 24 and 25? He says this, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen." Right? What an incredible blessing. Your cousin is backsliding, and you bless them, right? With Jude chapter 1. You know, Hebrews, this is one I like. Right? He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Can you imagine your friend is nervous, you know, about doing something? You know, maybe they have to teach Sunday school or, you know, have something. And you, for you to come and bless them and say, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will." And say, "I bless you to be perfect in every good work to do His will." What a beautiful thing that is, right? And obviously, you know, what I do every Sunday, and I just want to close with this. is the benediction, right? You know, the benediction is a pronouncement of blessing. Let me just teach you about church just a little bit, okay? And this is why I do this, right? Is that this is a blessing that was conferred, that God gave to Aaron, and he asked Aaron to be the stand-in, the messenger, to convey the blessing over his people. You know, it's the blessing in numbers. You know, and it's the time, you know, because, I mean, yeah, hearing the word is a blessing. But the moment in the service, and this is really the most powerful part of a worship service, is when the leader, right, stands up in the front here and conveys a blessing to the congregation. It's called benediction. It's to speak well of, right? And it's a promise from God. It's a covenant relationship that God brings to his people. And there's anointing, right? When the man of God, the leader of the group, comes and releases a blessing over his people, right? Now the Lord bless you and keep you. I mean, that's what the word says, right? It says, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, to lift up his countenance upon you, to give you peace, the shalom. You know, this is, you know, given from God's lips to Aaron, you know, to bless his people, and that's what I confer, right? Every single Sunday, right? It's a powerful moment, you know, where your leader can convey this over you guys. You know, wouldn't it be awesome that you would convey that blessing, right, to your parents? You know, that'd be pretty sweet, huh? Call them on the phone, right? You know, man, it's not that crazy. And say, Mom, Dad, now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. As parents here, right? Especially as dads and moms, there's anointing and authority over your life to speak blessing over your kids. Right? That every single day, I encourage you, every single day, there's tons of blessings in the Bible, right? You know, obviously you can make up your own too, right? You know, and stuff. But there's something about the word, you know what I mean? And stuff, the logos. And as you offer and convey that blessing over your kids. I was really touched at the children's conference, and the pastor was speaking about it. And they basically teach their church, you know, they teach every parent in their church to bless their kids with all these different types of blessings here, you know, and the kids, you know, and they've been doing it for a long time, for, you know, 20-some years, and to see these kids grow up in that, right? And the one preacher was speaking, and he was saying at the end of it, you know, as his daughter was going off to college, you know, she was getting on the plane, and it was like the last thing before they shut the door, right? You know, on the last call, you know, the stewardesses give you a dirty look and all that stuff, right? And get off the phone kind of thing. And she was the last thing, and she sent a text message to her dad. And so he never erased it. He's still on his phone, right? And he was up in the front, and you know what she blessed him with? The numbers. He said, Dad, thank you for everything. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord caused his face to, man, I was crying, right? He was about to cry himself. That blessing got returned back to him. You know, what an amazing thing, friends, right? And I talked about a lot of different stuff today. What an amazing thing that today, after service, you can go to someone that you love, someone you don't love, even better, you know? But you can call your folks, or if you're local, you can go see them tonight. You know, and after you chat, or you can grab your kids, or whatever the case may be, your boyfriend or your spouse, and you can bless them. And I just give you goosebumps. Maybe not. But you can really bless them. There's power in you. The image of God is in you. And when you speak that word, there's life there. So you can choose that life, or you can choose the death. My plea to you today is choose life. Choose life. This is an assignment today. Find someone today, right? You know, maybe you have enemies. I hope that you don't, you know? Maybe you do. I was kind of on the plane. I was thinking about all my enemies. I don't really have that many, you know? I mean, there's a devil, right? And stuff in the Boston Celtics, but, you know, they're not really my enemies. But there were some people that came to mind in my past, you know? I mean, there was that one guy that ripped my parents off, and I just spent time just blessing him. Lord, I just bless him, you know? I mean, forgive him, I just bless him, God. That they would prosper, right? Because when I do that, I just align myself with God. You know what I mean? I just tapped into the eternal. I just put my hand into, you know, the grace and the realm of the impossible. And it felt good. I mean, it really did. It felt really good. You know, I mean, the memories are still there, but man, I just stepped into God. You know what I mean? I mean, that doesn't compare to revenge. Revenge has nothing on that. And stuff. And so begin to bless. And today, right? Today. We're going to spend some time doing that next to your neighbor, right? But after that, today, find someone and just bless them. You can choose your own words, whatever it may be, right? You know, maybe you're having lunch with your boss later and say, boss, or, well, you probably wouldn't call him boss, right? Right? So-and-so, mister, or no, probably not mister, whatever, right? And say, you know what, can I just bless you? I bless you with peace that surpasses understanding. I bless you with the knowledge of God, that you would come to know Him. And I bless you with strength, that you would endure and persevere in all that you do. I bless you with the love of God, that your life would be transformed. You know what I mean? Think about a friend that you have right now that's struggling in their work. You know? Say, you know what? I bless you with a job. I bless you with a career. I bless you with satisfaction in your work. I bless you that you'd be so fulfilled by God in what you do, and that God would open up a door of ministry wherever you're at. I bless you with financial prosperity. Right? It's so easy. And some of you guys that are in that mode right now, didn't you just feel something? Right? It's encouragement. It's the Lord lifting us up. Amen? That's what I want you to do, right? And stuff, because it would be cheap if we just left. Right? Find someone that's sitting next to you. You know, because I finished a little early today. I told you I would. Right? Find someone next to you. Obviously, if it's your wife or, you know, a good friend, that's good too. If it's a stranger, even better. Right? Find someone and just bless them. Just bless them. You know, maybe just share a little bit of, you know, how can I bless you? Right? And, you know, you have to share your life story, right? I mean, you only have a few minutes, but whatever it may be. And just bless them. I'm talking about prayer, but I'm talking about a different type of prayer. Right? And I should look at them in the eyes and just say, you know what? I bless you with that peace. And I bless you with that comfort in the situation that you're going through right now. I bless you that you would find, you know, that person that you're looking for. I don't know, I gotta always throw something in there. Right? You know what I mean? Just bless that person. If you're not a believer here today, and you're just checking out the faith, that's okay. Right? You can do it too. Because the image of God lives inside of you as well. Right? Just bless someone around you. Right, so let's take a moment. Let's look around the room. Right, don't go too far. Right, and find someone next to you. If you know each other, cool. If you don't, even better. If this is totally uncomfortable for you, no worries. Just relax.